Welcome to Non-Consensus Investing. I'm Ram Ahluwalia, your host and CIO at Lumida Wealth, where we specialize in the craft of alternative investments. At Lumida, we help guide clients through the intricacies of managing substantial wealth so they don't have to shoulder the burden alone. Through this podcast, we draw back the curtain to reveal the strategies employed by the best in the business for their high net worth clients so that you too can invest beyond the ordinary.
How's everyone doing? Wild days in the market. I had a what's on your mind 2 nights ago, around 5 p.m. We were talking about, toward the end of the video, about the excessive froth and speculation in the market. And just to keep an eye this week with Max Trump bump, with the RNC in the backdrop, as well as options expiration this coming Friday, and the fact that you had massive call option buying across Max 7 and increase in speculation. And clearly that's come home to roost. I don't think it happened that fast the very next day. It's happening today as well. So I want to provide a quick perspective here on the negative momentum rally, momentum drawdown, talk about restaurants, energy, semiconductors. And if I have time, I'll do a deep dive on some of the names in the semiconductor category and Taiwan semiconductor earnings. I don't know if I'll get through all that. My sister is visiting internationally today. She's taken her son and my kids out for ice cream. So I'm going to try to avoid the sugar here and see how much time I have. All right. So I'm going to share my screen here. This is a great chart that was posted on Twitter by Aditya that really visualizes this negative momentum rally we've been talking about. So this is called a thematic rotation. Each of these items on the left column represent the year-to-date performance of a certain theme, year-to-date through July 9th. On the right-hand side, it's July 10th to July 16th, the same themes. And this is sorted from best performing theme year-to-date, and then best performing theme on the right-hand side from this other time frame. So what you see here is it's this best to worst and worst to first, right? So in the first 2 weeks of July, it was the best keep on cranking and the worst are cranking. And the first weeks of July have a lot of positive seasonality. Again, you have the RNC convention, the backdrop, and other drivers that, including speculation and Fed rate cut easing, that really pumped up equity markets, as well as global central banks easing, right? So what we've seen now is this rotation, the last 5 days, of these themes to these themes, right? We're going from AI semis, mega cap tech, AI, PC upgrades, power up America. These are the hottest themes in the market. Obesity drugs, the GLP-1s like Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly. Here we're talking a number of different names, VST, TLNE, Constellation Energy, et cetera. So these names, China, you can see these names here are not performing, right? This is the best, now they're in the worst. Well, it is performing. The liquid most short basket. This basket is up 17% year to date as of maybe 1 or 2 days ago, which rivals the return of the S&P 500. And it made 10% of that move, 10% of the 17% move, meaning 10 points total in weeks time. So part of that's because you have so much capital moving from these big mega cap market cap names to smaller areas like regional banks, liquid most short, small caps. So the moves you're seeing in these categories, which just don't have as much market cap, are outsized and pronounced because of just the volume of capital. So keep that in mind. Now, let's take a look at a few different, let's just spot check what's going on here, right? So I think there's a lot of speculation in Tesla, and it's a very good indicator to take a look at. I'm gonna try to do a better job sharing my screen this time around. Let's do that. So Tesla is one of these market barometers. My instinct is that it's probably topped out here. It's probably topped out here. It's holding up so far, but we'll see. I think we've probably seen the peak there. Take a look at ARK G, right? This is one of Cathie Wood's funds. There's a lot of speculation in ARK products. I think ARK G is a better indicator than ARKK for reasons I won't spend time getting into. But look at this ran up to the 200-day moving average. That's a strong rally, by the way, right? 23 to 27 or 28. It's like a 20% move. Hit that turnaround tanking, right? So, and this has been a good indicator of intermediate tops, right? Actually, take notes of these. Look at this. FOMO top. I don't know when I wrote that, but I must have been looking at this chart before, and I clearly wrote in here FOMO top. And that was July of last year, right? This coincided with the top in risk assets last year, because this is a sloppy rally. That's what we saw. In the tail end, things generally get sloppy. And the beginning of this year, we had a mini correction as well. ARCG was at a local top. The end of the year last year, I wrote about that as well. It tanked. And we saw that recently there. But speculation has moved from this world into other worlds like Tesla, by and large, because people are waking up to the fact that these are lousy businesses, right? So even SoFi benefited from this negative momentum rally, this worst to first dynamic, right? So look at that. It goes 200 days. Got above that. Looks like it's curling back in now. This is just a negative momentum rally, okay? It's the worst to first dynamic. Look at QQQ. So QQQ, look at the spread between the current price to the 200-day. And it's just widened. So this needs some time to breathe, right? It's going to take a few months to settle and reset, I imagine, yeah? But some will do better than others. It's worth taking a look at the movers and the gainers and where the relative strength is. I would expect NVIDIA has relative strength. Look at this. NVIDIA is actually up. Last I checked today, NVIDIA is like the safe harbor. Remember, it used to be Apple was the safe as like T-bills comma, right? And that's NVIDIA. How about that? Okay, oops. We don't want NVIDIA in Canadian dollars. We want NVIDIA in American dollars, right? Okay, look at that. NVIDIA up tags that support line. People want this stock. 115, interesting entry level. 100 may also be an interesting entry level. The way I think about that is if you're below your benchmark, then you should be more aggressive about getting filled at a favorable entry like now. But if you're at your benchmark, then you don't have to be so aggressive. You can wait for something to really go on sale. And that's the approach I'm taking with these names. I already have exposure to these names. And because of taxes, there's not much I can do. All right, what am I going to do? Can rotate out and pay taxes and give up? That's just not worth it for us. It's another reason why I'm contemplating this Lumida ETF, because I can be tactical and the IRS doesn't recognize in-kind transactions as taxable. So if you can add tactical overlays on the edges, I think that can create a significant amount of value. So that is QQQ. Let's look at SMH. SMH is the dominant theme in the market, representing AI as well as our friend receivers. This is at this level too. So, you know, I want to be surprised if we get a tactical bounce here. Does that mean we're done with the correction? Not necessarily, but there's probably a bounce. You look at four red days gap down. There's a lot of pain out there. I do think we get a summer correction, but I don't think it's going to be terribly deep. I think earnings will probably come in. But the earnings we saw last week, if you look at like Wells Fargo and ASML, markets are trading down on that. So expectations were high. And despite the earnings growth, and you look at earnings, you want to see that trend change. You want to start seeing companies be rewarded on earnings, or at least not tanking. We're not there yet. But that's a little cue you can take a look at. Yeah, semiconductors, they're resetting. By the way, fun fact, in the last 2 days, we are seeing one of the most significant moments of pain for fundamental long-short managers. It's 2 standard deviations of pain, and also momentum factor, which has been the dominant factor year to date, is getting whacked. You obviously see that here with semiconductors too. But there's a lot of pain out there in fundamental long-short land, that's for sure. Notable. How about energy? Energy, as I've said many times, is a really great diversifier for tech. What is energy doing? Energy's up. The world needs more energy. It broke out of this area and energy continues. So if you have energy in your portfolio, it's a good ballast. We like tech. Tech's expensive and energy was cheap. Energy was cheap about a month ago. And I talked about the energy rotation on Twitter. You bought energy there. You have some ballast in your portfolio. You're still going to take your chops on your semi portfolio. Energy can help out. Notably, though, it's the large cap energy names and the ones that don't have momentum that are doing well. This is really interesting. Take a look at this. Look at the holdings of energy. So I sort by one turn. Exxon, Chevron, Schlumberger. These guys are doing well. And let me just sort there. Halliburton, various energy services companies, energy equipment, like not necessarily those names, but that category I do because you have less sensitivity to oil prices. But names with energy that have momentum are getting hurt as well. I own some of these names, by the way, too. So take a look to giving back some here. Probably a decent entry point, actually. This name has momentum. So the higher level idea is that momentum is giving back. Momentum, again, one of the most powerful factors that drives stock market performance. performance. Things that go up tend to keep going up. You can see that here. But keep an eye on these kinds of names. I think there'll be good bargains that are popping out soon. But that divergence between large cap energy and other energy, like tanker plays like this, I thought was quite interesting, right? And again, the explanatory factor there is momentum. So what else? Restaurants. Restaurants. I've been bearish on restaurants. I wrote in early May, 2 days before Chipotle reported earnings, I said, look, you got to sell restaurants. Take a look at Chipotle, down 4%, about to touch its two-day moving average. Look, this stock for PE is 45, trailing PE is 56. Let's compare that to NVIDIA. Let's compare that to NVIDIA. What do we see? 4P is 41. Does that make any sense? No, it does not make any sense. Does not make any sense. Do they put like GPU chips in the burritos? Well, funny thing about it, they had this news about this stock split around here. You can see that it popped for 4 or 5 days. That doji showed up and then that was it. But Mr. Market doesn't give you a good entry. If you want to go short, look at this, down, probably waiting for a good entry. If you wait down, then takes a little pause there, breakaway down. Mr. Market is not your friend. Unless you're holding us in under, then you're pretty much immune. Or if you're contrarian, you have some bullets, you have some resistance to bullets, I would say. This is part of the best and the rest theme, and it's correcting, right? Valuations have just achieved a level where institutions say, hey, look, we're going to rope. These are high quality businesses. Chipotle does very good earnings growth. Great franchise. FICO is still hanging in there as well. How about Costco? Costco is a world-class business. Charlie Munger, Buffett business. All right, that's correcting as well. I doubt that's done. 8.4 PE, does that make any sense? No, it does not. Okay, so how about Visa? Visa we bought, I think it was 2 Mondays ago, I want to say. Wrote about that on Twitter. Wrote about it when it touched the 200-day, rallied up there, retested, kick-out, breakout on the bottom here. It's world-class business, 4 PE, 26. Big TBD on litigation risk here, by the way, so dig deep into this. We have a small position here, it's more tactical. The cost of research is measured in days, and you're rewarded, I believe, for getting the position with some initial analysis. Clearly, it touched its 50-day and it's giving back and maybe goes back down. It's possible. We're in the money now, make a decision what to do with that position. Obviously, world-class business. What else? Just back to restaurants. Here's an interesting ticker, EAT, Brinker International. Okay, so this business, let's see, I've got a little lag here. They own Chili's, Grill and Bar, Maggiano's, Just Wings. So this is an interesting one. All right, this one hasn't really taken its lumps like Chipotle, probably because it's a lot cheaper than Chipotle, only 14.4 PE and has very good earnings growth. That does not look like a pretty place to be. I'd rather be short than long in this restaurant name. So the tension in the markets is between small caps and semis. Let's just take a look at a few semiconductor stocks, small cap stocks. So I'm gonna share my screen again. What I mean by the tension in the market? Look, there's a big rotation, I believe, that'll continue into small caps. Innovo, we talked about that the other night, Tuesday, continue. These books aren't necessarily the best sign for continued movement, I would say. You can recognize that here. It may be a sign of buyer exhaustion, we'll see. I think the trend continues, but could be time for a breather, maybe this afternoon or tomorrow. That's just me taking an educated guess, by the way. These are hard to nail. I'd say I have 60% probability there, which is pretty good if you can do 60%. What else? I want to talk about two stocks in particular, Taiwan Semiconductor and LPLA. But before I get look at a long relationship with this company, not a personal relationship, just a financial relationship. Okay, so take a look at ASML. Look at this. This one is just so ironic. I mean, I wrote on Twitter here, you can find it October 9th. Hey, look, you should buy ASML. This is a stock we've been stalking for like a long time. So like around here, like, all right, time's a good time. Now's a good time to get this. And they were selected. Someone pitched the stock at the IRSUN conference. This is a world-recognized stock picking conference. Right here. That was a top in ASML. I love this, right? This is a classic consensus. Even at the esteemed IRSUN conference, which isn't CNBC, is not the public. Even here, that was a local. The stock went nowhere. It was part of that semiconductor correction, which bottomed around April 24th. It rallied, then it got pummeled again. So really funny, huh? But look, it's coming up for support. Notably, I'm going to share this thread I was able to dig up before.
let me look at XML, and the basic headline is, when everyone's talking about something, maybe you should go the other direction. And ASML is a classic, because this is a world-class business, by the way. They're a monopoly business. They have a wonderful business. ASML is strategic to the world, in addition to the United States. Okay, so it's safely in the hands of the Dutch. So I'm pulling this up now. I'll share my screen in a second. The other point I was going to raise is that at that IRSON conference, ASML was more expensive than NVIDIA. So the Ford PE was higher than NVIDIA. Did that make sense to own? No, it did not make sense to own at that time. But it did make sense to own in October. And there's a ball of liquidity in the markets. When Mr. Market gets fixated like a cat chasing a laser, it rushes in, piles in capital, bids up the multiple. Then people FOMO in, they buy calls, and then you get an exhaustion point, and it doesn't go anywhere for 6 months. And that's exactly what happened to ASML. Even happens with world-class businesses. So if you're a non-taxable investor and you recognize that, you can definitely do better, because you can take advantage of those rotations, right? You can say, hey, look, everyone's talking about ASML. I'm going to bug out of this and come back when things cool off. During the top last month, that would be a good opportunity to bug out and then maybe revisit later. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen again, and I'll show you a few additional charts around ASML as well. One of our approaches is we track what we believe are some of the best assets in the business in the world. We recognize that they're not all great buys. You want to buy a great business at a great price, and sometimes just to wait, like Visa. Visa is a great example. I never thought I'd be able to buy Visa this year. Generally, you can't buy a business of that quality once you're far along in a bull market. You have to wait for these deep corrections to get those names, but Visa gave us a break. So here's ASML again. Compare ASML to valuations of NVIDIA and SMCI. And you can see it was well above its local valuation bands, the yellow line. People say valuation is not a timing tool. Sometimes it is at a stock level, right? There you go. So NVIDIA was cheaper. By the way, at the beginning of the year, here's where NVIDIA was. 10-1. NVIDIA was the best name to own in semiconductors. It's obviously re-rated since then. So how you think about NVIDIA and ASML and SMCI should change quarter to quarter as valuations change. We started the year saying you want to own NVIDIA, Meta, Google. But the priority of the weights in those positions change as time passes, because the relative valuation and the upside versus downside changes. Make sense? Right? So this was old data. This is ASML when it had a 48 PE ratio. Let's take a look at ASML now. Okay. Some of you are wondering, I bought a bit. Is it a real deep discount? No, it's not. Do I think semis can continue to correct? Yes, I think they can. I don't think we're out of the woods yet. But we're down to about 10%. I would expect that market correction to be sub less than 10%, the index level, which means at the stock level, it could certainly be more. So you should be able to see ASM on the screen again. So we're back to Feb 24 levels. Okay. Now, what about the trailing PE and ASML? Let's take a look. We'll do 4 PE first. So we've corrected quite a bit. And here we're back to call it generals. That means after the downside. You could argue it's fair value in this recent AI theme. You could say it's maybe there's some value there, right? It's one way to look at it. Other way to look is a longer time frame, which is always a good idea. Take a look at a 10-year time frame. Okay, so here's ASML, and it's still well above these historical valuations, isn't it? And for those that were investing in semis back in 2015, big semiconductor boom, names ASML and KLAC were doing really fantastic here. So from a short-term perspective, it does look like there's some value there. From a longer-term perspective, ASML hasn't been as cheap as it has been in the past. And the reason why that matters is because this stock will grow as a function of multiple expansion and earnings growth. I always start with multiple expansion, because that's where you can get real movements. And it's not at these levels, and small caps are still a steal. I talked about earlier, the basic tension in markets right now is between small caps and these semiconductors. Semiconductors are going to change the world. They're benefiting from billions in CapEx spend. Small caps have been ignored. Fed rate cuts are coming. Capital's flowing in there, and they don't call companies. When capital moves in from these larger companies, they move quickly. And small caps have a lower multiple, so there's more room for multiple expansion. So on balance, I think small caps are the tilt, right? Because if you had to weigh those two tensions, you want to own both, but But on balance, small caps, I would say, are the tits. Term points I said earlier around small caps. Okay, so let's take a look at Taiwan Semiconductor. Taiwan Semiconductor is a is an earnings transcript you should read every time it comes out. If not, you can take a look at our summary of it. Folks are busy. We certainly do look at many of these transcripts. There's a lot of insight around them that you cannot get from a headline, and you also cannot get it through an, although we use these AI summaries too. I'm going to share this tab now. See it soon. Okay. So this is an automatic AI generated summary of Taiwan Semi. This is super cool, by the way. I've designed to summarize earnings transcript. So we'll go through this. We still have more to iterate on the AI in different ways. I won't spend too much time on that. But the margins expanded. They've already indicated they intend to raise prices. You can see that in the margin expansion. They expect to maintain margins. They expect continued high performance computing, 5G related demand. Okay, I'm a big fan of highlights. So you can go back and review your thinking from the prior quarter and synchronize to that. So they increased the lower end of CapEx, the lower end of CapEx. I think 28 to 32 billion was the previous capital budget guide. They said they're going to spend more money. Who are they going to spend money on ASML? This is called a read-through. If you can spot the read-throughs by covering the sector, then that gives you more perspective on where other opportunities are. So that should bode well for ASML. By the way, ASML also reported. So you want to let's take a look at both together and then draw out some insights from that. Okay. So 70, 80% of the capital budget on advanced process technology. Okay. This is called ASML, right? Okay. There are other players too in their supply chain, but obviously ASML is a big one. Specialty technology. This is a big one. Advanced packaging testing in other areas. So they want to expand the services they offer. I'm not going to dwell on this, but there are other players in the market that do advanced packaging testing. So they're trying to capture more of the customer relationship. Makes sense, right? They want to own more of the customer wallet. Yeah, this is, AI is just not good. The AI company, they discuss the sustainability, the gross margins, and the impact of advanced packaging on profitability. But they don't tell me what the conclusion of the discussion, they discussed it. That's not helpful. So I've got to update my AI script and just keep training this to get me a better output. But you should read the transcript also, because the summaries are not enough. Like, the key question for Taiwan Semiconductor is, and ASML, is this. Here's the demand for the different nanometer technologies, right? Smaller, more advanced. This is the height of human civilization, the ability to create a 3-nanometer process technology with lasers that create intelligence on demand. This is the height of human civilization and the U.S. Constitution. 3-nanometer process technology contributed 15% of wafer revenue in the second quarter. 5-nanometer and 7 contributed 35% and 17%. NVIDIA is not actually using this 3-nanometer technology yet, by the way. This is like AMD, two other players. So the question is, does this go up? If this percentage goes up, then ASML does better. One of my to-dos is I have an analyst say, hey, research this. Get a view on, will demand for 3-nanometer process technology increase? Because if you know the answer to that, then you have a better view of ASML. Because it's a bit of a mixed picture. Short-term valuation, interesting. Longer-term, expensive. But this is what ASML can develop, right? Yeah. Overall capacity utilization. Now, the value of the TSMC is they power auto semiconductors, industrial semiconductors, CPU semis, GPU semis. And last year, in the summer, they had a forward P of 15. Think about that, by the way. A forward P of 15. Now it's in the I want to say, like 24-ish. So what do they say? We forecast overall semiconductor market, excluding memory, to increase 10%. They reiterate, it's not unchanged from 3 months ago. We would also like to expand our definition of foundry industry, foundry 2.0. These guys are learning from Jensen, right? They're learning how to market in their mask making. Memory excluding, that would be the Microns and the SK Hynixes and the Samsungs of the world. So we believe this better reflects TSMC's expandable addressable market business expansion. That's what they're doing. We have, now here's the key thing. We have observed strong AI and high-end smartphone related demand from our customers as compared to 3 months ago. That has value. That's bold. We did not get that from the summary. That's an insight that's worth something, right? Now the question is, how do you express a view on this? And a continual surge in AI related demand. No kidding. CoreWeave's building out 25 to 26 data centers. All those data centers need GPU chips. That means demand for NVIDIA and SMCI and cooling technology and utilities and power. We can, if customers do well, TSMC should do well. For example, we are happy to see many of our customers' structural profitability improving in these past few years. They're talking about NVIDIA. And you can be sure Jensen and his team are reading this transcript for sure. So therefore, we will continue to work closely with our customers to share our value. What they're saying is they're going to raise prices to their market to go up. And they've talked in the public here. If you're tracking this closely, they want to raise price. They want to eat into NVIDIA's margin. Question is, can NVIDIA pass the higher prices to their end customer? Or does NVIDIA have to give up? I would say NVIDIA can probably do past it right now. Okay, we expect the number of new tapeouts for 2-nanometer technology in the first 2 years to be higher than both 3-nanometer and 5-nanometer in the first 2 years. So the uptake be higher. Why? Because the benefit is power improvement, energy utilization. That's interesting. Should be good for ASML, right? That's the question. There's some Q&A. So I just want to show you an example of how you can connect a few dots by digging into the transcripts. It's amazing that both ASML and TSM report at the same time. It's very helpful because it gives you a perspective on the overall industry as things navigate ahead. Let's see what we can share around TSM. Let's look at the historical evaluations on TSM. I'm going to share my screen again. We may not have time to talk about LPLA. That's a fun conversation. I think there's an opportunity in that. All right. So this is a 10-year valuation. So we've come up quite a bit. It's above these 2015, 2016 levels. It's not a 2021 level. This is the story for semiconductors, right? If you want, and big tech, if you want stock price to go up, you have to bet on earnings growth. So far, the earnings growth is there, right? I'm going to share another chart with you. And this is the bull case for semiconductor earnings, okay? This is a significant trend, the spend on semiconductors. Amazon have all said that they intend to spend $50 to $100 billion plus each on CapEx related to semiconductors. That's why that valuation is re-rated. So let's see here, semiconductors. Okay, take a look at this. So this is the semiconductor index. Obviously, we're overextended, right? Way overextended here. Here's the forward earnings and valuations, literally off the charts, right? It's literally off the charts. These are bands. These are valuation bands, 25, 20 times, 15, 10 times earnings. And we are above 20 levels. This is the case. Okay, the revisions are up. That means analysts expect earnings growth. And these squiggles show the changes in analyst estimates in out years. 24, 25 up, 26 up. And the 4 PE, you can see it's getting quite a bit heady there. 08 was higher, but that was because of a collapse in earnings, right? Here, it's more about price going up, the numerator going up rather than denominator going down, right? The long-term earnings growth is high, improving, and here's what's going on here. I think there's an interesting idea around Qualcomm. It's hard to swim against the tide when the tide is correcting. So a lot of this discussion, we don't have time to get so much into all of that. We just heard from TSMC that smartphone demand is up substantially. Whose IP powers smartphones? Two companies, ARM, Qualcomm. Qualcomm has a Snapdragon chips powering Apple, the Microsoft Surface, the Apple iPhones, right? So Qualcomm's interesting. It's a lot cheaper than all the rest. 4P18. It's one of the cheaper semiconductor companies that are out there. So I own this. This is an interesting idea. The tension here is that what about semiconductors? Are they done correcting all the rest? But you have some buffer, right, from those other guys. And it really depends. Are you at your benchmark weight or not? If you're underweight, then you should be leaning in. If you're overweight, you should be more conservative. So let me see what else. If you have any quick questions, let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to step out for some lunch. I would share you, okay, there's Qualcomm. This is Qualcomm versus analyst targets. So look, the delta has generally led to a bounce. Your bet here is that there's a re-rating because of the smartphone AI trend that Taiwan Semiconductor talked about in their earnings. ARM is for smartphone, but ARM is absurdly expensive, 100 times forward earnings, right? This is one of the few successful IPOs we saw last year. IPO'd here, didn't go anywhere. It was expensive then. So now that's ARM. I think Qualcomm's in play than ARM. So the other one, we have some time to dig into this. We'll see. All right, let's take a look at Schwab. So Schwab smashed. Schwab is smashed. Why? Look at this. Okay, share my screen again. This is an interesting one. So much happened in the last 2 days, right? That even though there's a semiconductor pullback, yet other names caught up in the pullback. So they tanked also. That can create opportunity sometimes, unless it makes sense that they should have these issues, right? Look at Schwab. Look at this. Schwab, one of the best brands in the world. Fidelity's got a better brand, I would say, in the brokerage. They had some issues around the banking crisis. People had concerns around their capital and liquidity. You could see here, they were destroyed in terms of their perspective here. Look at that. So they were at like 79-ish and then just smoked. This is what we were buying JP Morgan, by the way, right? When you have a dislocation, the entire category is cheap. Don't bet rising from the ashes. Don't try to bet on First Republic. Just buy the diamond in banking, JP Morgan, UBS too, UBS globally, I would say. Obviously some other news around UBS with that CS acquisition. But this is Schwab, been volatile. They almost recovered, then they tanked again. And look at that, it's been rough. I don't own Schwab, by the way. I like to rubberneck on stocks that tank now and then and just try to see what the hell's going on. The story with Schwab is that they're using third parties on their cash product. What does that mean? So if you've got excess cash at Schwab, then what they do is Schwab Bank will pay you interest on your excess cash or credit balance, but they retain a portion of the, so you don't get a Schwab Bank retains that as well. Schwab Company retains that. Obviously Schwab Bank is going to lend out your funds in a money market investment. So by moving to a third party, there's less risk on Schwab, which makes sense. Maybe the regulators called Schwab and said, hey, if you guys have another banking crisis, we can't have your clients, we can't have retail investors relying on Schwab Bank. If Schwab gets bank, it's a bank run, which is very sensible, actually. The movement to third party is very sensible, but they're going to make less money. And the interest earned on these credit balances are significant. So take a look at this now. This is LPLA. I used to own this stock, actually. So I know this business. They're an independent RIA. And the big theme here is that advisors are leaving the JP Morgans of the world, the Morgan Stanley of the world, to go independent. So LPLA provides the infrastructure for an advisor to plug in with their book of business, equips them with research, the investing infrastructure, so the advisor can go build a book of business and retain more of the margin and pay this to Morgan Stanley and JP Morgan. I think that's a real trend. I think it's a real theme. I like asset management businesses as well. They're high margin, they're recurring revenue. They're like SaaS, more history than SaaS. LPLA tanked with Schwab tanking. Some analysts came out while Schwab was tanking and said, hey, this could impact LPLA as well. All right. LPLA, though, doesn't have a bank. Okay. That's a big difference. Okay. Keep that fact in mind. The other part is this. Let's take a look at LPLA's most recent financial. This is information processing, because if you can process information faster, that is a form of edge. It's one of the three forms of edge, along with variant perception and liquidity provision. All right, let's go find this. So I have analysts that wake up 8 hours ahead of me. I messaged them. I said, look into LPLA. I gave them a basic framework to think about it. So when I show up on our CIO call in the morning at 7:30, they already have a point of view on it, which is great. That creates acceleration. Super cool. One more in a different part of the world. And then we have a follow the sun model where I have post earnings at 4 p.m. Analyze that and then hand off the package to the next team. And then we will be golden. No one really in the wealth management space, no one really does anything what I describe, by the way. They don't even do what we're doing right here. They are mostly lazy and they buy ETFs. Okay. LPL, even hedge funds, those guys are lazy too. Hedge funds, some are good, but most are over. Okay, LPLA, SEC filings. Okay, there we go. I'm going to interview a hedge fund that is doing 400%, by the way, on Google or something. But by and large, the total return is there. Even the return is there, I think, in a month or so. Longtime friend, known him 12, 14 years. He's actually like a mentor. He's an equity investor in Lumita too. So we're very close. Part of my deal network. So income statement. Okay, credit. Let's take a look at this one. Okay, the search process is not really that great. Let's take a look at the income statement. Ah, wait a minute. See, interest income. Interest income. All right, there we go. All right, we got the wrong year here. Okay, that's not going to help too much. Give me a moment. Let me see if I can find this. Okay, L financials. Choose from list. SEC filings. They have too many changes in beneficial ownerships. Quarterly results. There we go. Okay. Okay, first results. Playing this up. There we go. Okay, I'm going to share my screen with you all now. Thank you for that. So the question is this. LPLA dumped on this news and people hit sell button. Like Germany BTC sell. They hit sell button on LPLA. Is there a read-through? Is LPLA impacted? Now we know LPLA doesn't have a bank. It's like a detective puzzle, right? So check this out. Their net interest income, $1 million. What's the overall contribution to total income? Pretty small, actually. It's like a rounding error. The other piece is this client cash. This is what we're talking about here. The client cash is, there's a material contribution, but it's in the single digit. It's like a single digit percentage points, right? Doing some quick math here. 373 divided by 1,000. Let's count the percentage. 30 makes more sense. That's a material contribution, right? So the way you make money in this business is you are capturing a spread between the amount you pay to the client and the interest you earn through the client's cash. Okay. So the question is really, with Fed rates declining, will Schwab be impacted? That's what the whole question's about, because Schwab doesn't have a bank. Their margin's not changing, right? With Schwab, their margin's changing because they were internalizing the profits, and now they're shifting to third parties. They're going to capture the margin Schwab otherwise would have enjoyed. Again, probably due to regulatory pressure. Okay. So now it's a material driver. Now, is that number going to shrink by the market cap reduction, which is substantial, right? Is it priced in? Is that change priced in? Let's take a look at LPLA historically. We can look at 2019. 2019, there were 3 rate cuts, and then the Fed gave them all back because the market freaked out. I have charts that my analyst prepared here, actually, so I'm going to pull those up on the screen. All right, here we go. Check this out. September 2019, there were 3 rate cuts. Okay, LPLA sold off 11%. I'm going to zoom in here. Take a look at this. So you see that correction? Now, at the time, it was 15%. So when you zoom out, it looks relatively small. But at that moment, it's 15%. And right now, you've got double digit correction too. And then what happened? It recovered up until you had COVID. This is COVID. So the point here is that rate cuts hurt these business models because they generate less net interest income, the primary effect, not this Schwab-related news. And here, what do you have? You have a 22% drawdown from peak. Here, the drawdown is 15%. You can see the RSIs. So that suggests that the overreacting. What about the valuations? Okay. So 19, you saw, okay, this is forward and trailing PE together. So the forward PE will be lower. That'll be the line. You can see you had multiple compression around 11%. Here you've got about 20% multiple compression. And now the multiple is 13.7. That's forward PE, trailing PE 17.3. Okay. So the multiple is back to, I don't know, the recovery of COVID, let's say, or just before COVID, not bad. So yeah, look, I think it's an interesting business to buy back 5% of their stock every year. The PE is attractive. It's not cheap. We're also in a strong bull market. So you get what you can. When you can, this generates decent free cash flow. So I think this is a pretty interesting idea, this LPL, because I think the Schwab news is causing an overreaction in this name. And then if you look at things technically, we zoom out, you can see we're at almost multi-year levels, certainly going back for support. September 2022 was 3 weeks from the bottom of the October 22 bear market. Yeah, I think that's interesting. And people are defending it before it even gets there. There was this wick lower. Trader like nabbed it right there and is sitting on green. It may take some time to settle, but I believe the value is there. Now, the risk to this would be, what about future rate cuts? Does that impact it further? So you can do some more analysis around that. Now, if there are no rate cuts, this is up, right? If there are no rate cuts, this zips up because this is trending down on rate cut expectations. Other meta here is, if you're a cross asset class investor and you've got a broad coverage, you can spot these opportunities. If you have a narrow silo and you're looking at only technology stocks, or you own 8 crypto tokens, then you're playing a very local game. And what we're doing is looking across these spaces. And you know, if you can be active and manage tax, I think that is a very powerful combination, right? Take a look at PAGS, for example. Our friend PAGS, I've been talking about PAGS Segura. Brazil, it's going to go down. Had a great rally. We were buying it here. We wrote about this newsletter. I mentioned a few times on Twitter, right? Dollar rolling over the exporter countries like Brazil. We thought PAG's the best. Now, if I sell, I pay taxes and I'm going to lose 45% of upside. I'm just suffering through that drawdown. If I have an active ETF, I can do an in-kind transaction with another name, LPLA. I can sell this, buy LPLA, and don't pay taxes. And to PAG Segura, which I think is a great name. It's a great multi-year hold. And that form of alpha, right? It's like tax alpha, provided you get those rotations right. I think that's a very interesting idea. Let's see. I have some questions that are coming here. Will the Lumita ETF? Well, we don't officially have this Lumita ETF. We're still thinking about it. Every day, I can't get this idea out of my head because I see these opportunities every day, and almost every day, at least certainly each week, a few times a week, I would say. And when there's more volatility, there's more opportunity. But yeah, I would include any name that has an ADR. So yeah, we would absolutely include ADRs. So if you had to make a tactical call for where the bottom of IWM will be in this mini correction before we go further up, I don't know. It's an interesting question. I think what to do is just assess and reassess each day. That's what you do. Because you get more information the next day. Why would you make a call that it bottoms 8 days from now when you have the choice to update your view tomorrow and the day after and the day after? You should formulate a view so you can test your skill and measure yourself and then reassess. This is why I'm not a huge fan of like price targets. Like, what am I going to do with the price target? We knew ASML was consensus at the IRSON conference. I don't need a price target at that point. I know it's consensus. Okay, great business. Do I want to own it there? No. But if I have taxable gains and I want to sit on it, like NVIDIA and the Cathie Wood top, right? What do? You sit on it, right? Taxes and time horizon transform investing dramatically. If there were no taxes, theoretically, we should all be more active, although most people don't know how to do that and they'll lose money through overtrading, actually. That's what will happen anyway. Understand Tencent is your favorite name in China, but what do you think of Baidu and Baba? I think, man, these are hard questions. All right. So when you have a correction, you want to find the highest quality asset that you can. This is sharing my screen again, trying to share my screen here, but to give it a second, it's doing some kind of buffer. Okay, share screen. All right, there we go. That's FXI. The green is when we called the bottom in China, by the way. That was on Twitter. This was under capitulation watch. This correlated with Trump's rise in the polls. We saw that with the Iowa straw poll. That's really what clued me into this. Trump won the Iowa straw poll, China tanked. And it made sense, all this tariff talk. So China's like inverse Trump, but Trump's priced in. How do you know? Trump's polls have gone up. He's a presumed winner. China's up. Trump's priced in. Now, that doesn't mean there's not news flow impacting it negatively on a day-to-day basis, but you probably want to fade that. So the best business, and I don't have time to lay out my 10-cent thesis here. I think it's about to turn up. It's in random. It almost looks like a semiconductor stock here, right? It's leveling out. I think these are all fine in different ways, but can I hold Baba for 10 years? Years, probably not. It probably re-rates in 3 years or two, maybe a year and a half even, right? It's got a ton of free cash flow, ton of cash on the balance sheet, but they have competitor pressure from PDD. The trend hasn't leveled out quite yet as well. And as you can see, as compared to Tencent, hasn't performed as well, has less relative strength. But it's not a bad idea, for sure. Not a bad idea. I respect the idea. Even maybe this entry level, maybe a little bit low, not a bad idea. I got to wrap up. I got the top of the shoulder here. Lastly, Baidu is one of the cheapest names in China. It's like an AI story, but it's an interesting idea. Buy the best asset when assets are dislocated. That's Ram's rule number 37. All right, have a good one, folks. Take care now. Be well.
Thank you for listening in on the episode. Remember, in the world of investing, the road less traveled often leads to the greatest rewards. I'm Ram Alawalia, your host and chief investment officer at Lumida Wealth, where we specialize in the craft of alternative investments. Invest wisely, stay ahead of the curve, and stay non-consensus.